saying Luther's ugly or anything, but you'd think something funny of me if I was saying, and you too, buddy, you know, or something like that, right? So, I've been hearing lots of sniffles today, mine included. It is the season, and though we love these warm days, we all know when the weather fluctuates up and down, it sure can wreak havoc on our nasal passages, can it? So if I sound a little nasal today, I apologize. I wanted to let you know of a story. It's a true story, something that happened. I think it's a pretty amazing story. And we'll talk about why in a moment. But many years ago in St. Louis, a lawyer visited a Christian that for business purposes he had visited many other times, and he once again visited him to transact some business. Before the two parted, the Christian said to him, "I've often wanted to ask you a question, but I've been afraid to ask." And he said, "What do you want to know?" asked the lawyer. The man replied, "I've wondered why you're not a Christian." The lawyer hung his head. He said, "I know enough about the Bible to realize that it says no drunkard can enter the kingdom of God, and you know my weakness." The two of them, through business and through friendship, had created enough friendship so that this Christian knew the lawyer quite well, knew of his struggles. The Christian said, "You're avoiding my question." The lawyer replied, "Well, truthfully, I can't recall anyone ever explaining how to become a Christian." Picking up a Bible, the Christian read some passages showing that all are worthy of condemnation, but that Christ came to save the lost by dying on the cross for their sins. "By receiving him as your substitute and redeemer," he said, "you can be forgiven if you're willing to receive Jesus." "Let's pray together." The lawyer agreed, and when it was his turn, he exclaimed, "Oh Jesus, I am a slave to drink. One of your servants has shown me how to be saved. Oh God, forgive my sins and help me overcome the power of this terrible habit in my life." Right there, he was converted. That lawyer was C.I. Schofield, who later edited the Schofield Reference Bible, where many Christians today have that Bible. Maybe some of you do. The Schofield Reference Bible. And that's the story of his salvation. But how did it happen? Just boom, it happened? Did he grow up in a Christian home? No. None of those things. In fact, he pursued everything the world could gain for him as a lawyer. And he found it bringing nothing, so he turned to drink instead of to God. Until finally, in relationship, through friendliness to begin with, and then friendliness that turned to relationship, this Christian got to a point where he felt, "I need to ask this man about Christ," and led him to the Lord right there. What a beautiful story, a powerful story of truth. You see, last week we discussed together our need to be friendly to an unfriendly world. Now, I believe Zora Baptist Church to be the friendliest church in Orange. I do. I'm just waiting for Orange to know it. Okay? And I think if we can take our friendliness to this world, and I know so many of you do, this should be a continued challenge for us then to not just be friendly, but to seek someone who is unchurched and spiritually lost to be our new friend. As individuals, to find one new friend that needs us. We say, "Well, needs Jesus, Pastor." Yeah. But first, they're going to need us. And we need to find one new friend that needs us. And that's our challenge. And that's what I talked about last week, to be praying about that and to be friendly to everybody you can, even more so than you have before. Sharing that joy with Jesus. You see, the joy of Jesus. That this is evangelism. It is a part of evangelism. Christian theology in plain language states, it's a magazine, it is easy to determine when something is aflame, it ignites other material. Any fire that does not spread will eventually go out. A church without the fire of evangelism is a contradiction in terms, just as a fire that does not burn is a contradiction. So we as individuals, we as a church, we must get serious about the unchurched and spiritually lost in our community. We need to go out with friendliness and relationship, push back the walls of our own hypocrisy, and be useful to Jesus, whom we claim to be our Lord and our Savior. Like the Christian who had the relationship with Mr. Schofield, we need to as well develop, through friendliness to relationship, develop these relationships to Jesus. Now we say, and again, not to be a motto for our church, though it may be that to some, but hopefully to be who we are, that is to be loving people to loving Jesus. That's what we need to be about here at Zora Baptist Church, and we're going to go into Scripture here in just a moment, but let's pray. Holy God, I thank you so much for the privilege that we have of looking into your Word, seeing what you have to say about relationship. The fact that you, being our God, and all through Scripture, you discuss how you relate to us, I believe it's very important that we discuss today, at least on a small level, about relationship and just spurring us to be a part of that. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to ask that you turn in your Bible to the same passage we were in last week. If you weren't here last week, that's okay. Today, what we discuss today will stand, I believe, by itself. But in Revelation chapter 2, we read Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 7 last week. We'll do the same this week. And I'd like to start. You can keep turning if you're needing to. Write to the angel of the church in Ephesus, the one who holds the seven stars in his right hand and who walks among the seven gold lampstands, says, I know your works, your labor, and your endurance, and that you cannot tolerate evil. You have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and you have found them to be liars. You also possess endurance and have tolerated many things because of my name and have not grown weary. But I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember then how far you've fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. Otherwise, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Yet you do have this. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Anyone who has an ear should listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. I will give the victor the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in God's paradise. I want to take a quick look again at verses 4 and 5, if you'll look there with me. But I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember then how far you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. Otherwise, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Last week, we touched on the fact that our first love and the love that John wrote about as directed by the Holy Spirit here in Revelation is the love of Jesus Christ and his gospel. It is so important that we understand that our first love is and should be, if we are true believers, if we are true in our proclamation to be a Christian, that our love is based on the lordship of Jesus, the commander, the command of Jesus over our lives. That's our first love. And the gospel then that saved us, which was the fact that he died to redeem us. He was perfect. He was the payment and substitution for the payment that we owed for our sin. And that this is the gospel. We learn by living a life without sharing our love of Jesus and the gospel with others, we're actually abandoning our proclamation of our love for Christ. So there are so many that will say, oh, I love Jesus, I love Jesus, I love Jesus. But are they proclaiming Jesus? Are those people proclaiming Jesus? Am I proclaiming Jesus? I say I love Christ. I say I've been called to be a preacher of the word, which, you know what, I can do that in church. But am I living it? Am I sharing the gospel of Jesus? Am I sharing my love of Christ with others? Am I proclaiming my first love? And then we discovered that we as individuals then, and then as a church body, must remember that we've been rescued from every kind of sin you can think of. Now, some of you may say, well, Pastor, I haven't done every kind of sin I can think of. Well, no. And if you're a Christian, you've been rescued from doing any of those and being part of those types of sins. And we need to remember that rescuing. Then we need to repent of all those things and repent of abandoning Christ, the love of Christ, and the work that he's called us to. And then it says in verse 4, it says that we are to do the ministry, do the work. And so we need to do the work of the love of Christ, which is simply share the gospel with others. Doing the work of Jesus' love by sharing the gospel does not have to be difficult. And you know, it can be as simple as seeking a new friend. It really can. I did a little exercise with our deacons last week. I went around to each one of them and I said, besides work, what do you like to do? What is something that you enjoy or would like to have time to enjoy? That type of thing. And I had several answers. Well, this was not one of the answers. So I'm just, that way I'm totally pulling out the hat and you can't say it was so-and-so. Let's say that the thing you love to do was golf. And you had particular people from your church or whatever, family or whatever, and that's who you played golf with. Add one new friend. Well, where do you find that friend? Someone else at the golf course. I'm not sure where you're going to find. Might be someone at Walmart and you see them buying some golf equipment and you strike up a conversation and say, do you play golf? Yeah. Well, I play at Meadows Farm, you know, once a week. Would you like to start joining me? Oh, yeah, that'd be great. Boom. Easy. You've got a friend. You're playing golf. Start of a friendship. You're being friendly. You're talking to someone, just opening your mouth. It can be that simple. A guest at a country house coming down to breakfast one morning was met by the child of the home, who, running up to him and putting his hand in his, looked up into his face with a smile, saying, I'm your friend now. I put you in my prayer last night. Well, yes, finding a friend could be you meet someone at the store, start praying about them. Get their name, start praying for them. Start praying that God will give you more opportunity to see them and to communicate with them. Colossians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, the Apostle Paul said this. He said, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. You have already heard about this hope in the message of truth. The gospel that has come to you. It is bearing fruit and growing all over the world, just as it has among you since the day you heard it and recognized God's grace in the truth. So folks, when we start praying for someone, that could be, we might think at a chance meeting, but God doesn't work in chance. It could be a divine appointment. And I really love that word. Those words, divine appointment. Folks, if we look at when we go out and we meet and greet people, when we're paying for gas at the gas station and we come to the person there, how do we know that's not a divine appointment? Well, Pastor, I just needed some gas. Right, but God doesn't work just in coincidence. Why did you need gas right then, right there, at that time, at that gas station, with that person, with whatever situation they have going on in their life? And I didn't ask him, I didn't tell him ahead of time, but I know he won't have a problem doing this. I'm going to ask our deacon chairman, Tommy, to give you all the same testimony he gave me about a divine appointment, I believe, at Walmart last week. Remember with that young lady. Would you be willing to share that? Just you got a minute and 30 seconds, Tommy. That's it.
I was at Walmart and I approached this young lady, cashier, and she just looked like she had lost her best friend. She had a frown on her face. And I smiled at her. She didn't have one, so I gave her one of mine. And I said, please, you know, don't be sad. You know, it's a beautiful day. You know, think of something that'll bring joy into your life there. She says, I just can't. The customers here are terrible. They just cuss at me. They're always complaining. And I said, well, God has given you an opportunity to share a little bit of His love with the next customer that comes and gives you a hard time. And when I left there, she had a smile on her face. I don't know if she did that or not, but I think she felt a little bit better about herself. So that's an opportunity God gave me, and I passed it on to her.
Now, see, that's a touch that our brother had with a person in the community. She may not be a Christian at all. She may not even believe in God or anything else, but that's one touch. Folks, it takes 6 to 7 touches in a person's life at least for a person to even have recognition of who God is and the love of Christ. Now, who's to say that the next person coming through into her life isn't the person that actually gets to share the gospel and she accepts Christ? Who's to say? Well, what a beautiful thing. And so, Tommy, I'm sure, has already been praying for that young lady and thinking of her on occasion in his prayers, just like Paul was talking about. So we need to be prayerful about the new friend with whom God wants us to gain a relationship. And then we must be cheerfully friendly to all. Because who knows what divine appointment God has for us with the next person that we meet. James chapter 1 speaks of joy. The thing is that we talked about this at Christmas time. Last week, we still had our Advent wreath here, and I just use that as a reminder that there is hope, real hope, being a Christian. There's peace. And that hope and that peace brings joy. And it's a joy that in the darkest of circumstances, in the greatest points of worry of our life, we can still have joy and share it and be cheerful with others. James chapter 1 verse 2 says, consider it great joy, my brothers, whenever you experience various trials. We have some folks here that right now are going through some of the largest, greatest trials of their life right now. But I've watched them. I've listened. They have a joy. Folks, a joy that could only come from Christ. That could only come from belonging to Jesus and to the body of Christ. The body of Zora Baptist Church. And it's been a beautiful thing to see. And as they continue going through these trials, they know that first they'll be able to count on Jesus. And they know that they'll be able to count on this church, this body, through the whole thing of all their trial that they're embarking. So it is that we must go into our community with friendliness, begin to create new relationships. Folks, if all we do is stick with the friends we've always had, we're not going to have new relationships and we're going to miss divine appointments that God has for us. Be on the lookout for new friends. This is the work that should be produced when someone loves Jesus. That's the work that God has appointed for us to do upon our new creation of life through Christ, is to make new friends, new relationships. I had an acquaintance of mine, and before he was a Christian, he had tons of friends. He was the life of every party. In fact, some of the guys that knew him, they said, oh man, when before he knew Jesus, man, he was 125% party all the time. And the cool thing is when he found Jesus, he was 125% about Jesus. You know what? He realized that, and he shared Jesus with his old friends, but he needed some new friends. Not just Christian friends, but he found other new friends that he could share Jesus with. And he looked for that early on in his Christian life. Well, folks, that's what this is about, is to be able to continually find new friends. It doesn't mean you abandon necessarily old friends if they're good friends. Sometimes we have to get old influences out of our lives, right? But it doesn't mean that we abandon our old friends. It doesn't mean we abandon family. But folks, we can't let family become an idol for us. Family can become an idol. And it will keep us sometimes from doing what God wants us to do with our lives, from making those new friends. And I think we need to be careful about that. Because if we make something an idol, if you look through the Old Testament, the one thing God always wanted to occur was the removal of idols. So therefore, folks, I don't want my family to be my idol, because I don't want God to ever think I should have a removal of my idol if my family's my idol. You follow what I'm saying? Okay? God will get our attention however he needs to get our attention. But you see, we as the Zohar Church, It does no one good if we, the people making up this church, are not willing to do the work that God set aside for us, and we put other things in its way. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 to 21. Everything is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed the message of reconciliation to us. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us. We plead on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. I'm going to make it plain and simple. We are God's ambassadors, charged with building relationships so others can be reconciled before God. Reconciliation, that is making things right. God wants us to be his ambassadors, to help others become right before God. What a beautiful thing. What a great privilege we have. Every believer has this. So in following our first love, which by our claim of being Christians is Jesus, then we must be his ambassadors. And we're just hypocrites if we're not going to be his ambassadors, and we're just hypocrites wasting everybody's time. Now, I don't know about you all, but the thing I hear often is people don't like other people wasting their time. So we don't need to be wasting people's time. I believe God is calling out. He's calling out to the body of Zohar Baptist Church. That's you, that's me. He's calling out to us, to the members and to the attenders of this church, to get busy being friendly to and making relationships with the unchurched and spiritually lost of our community. I really believe that. This is accomplished, though, not by everyone sitting here saying, well, okay, well, so-and-so, they're real outgoing and all, I'll let them do it. It doesn't happen that way. It's accomplished by each individual. And folks, you don't have to change your personality. Maybe just try a smile, and that could change everything. It doesn't have to be something huge. It's about, I like to knit. Find someone new to join in with your knitting group. That's something simple like that. Ambassadors, you see, are people who infiltrate another group of people in their culture without losing their own. And they are engaging in friendly relationship in order to promote, to defend, and to win other people to the truth and worth of their cause. That's what an ambassador does. And this is what we're called to do in the work for our love of Jesus Christ. I think that's a beautiful thing. God calls us to be His ambassadors. Do you know Jesus? You remember the Pharisees were saying, "Hey, make these people hush and all that." And He said, "You know what? If they're quiet, the very rocks and trees are going to cry out." Well, God didn't. If He wanted people to know from rocks and trees, He could do that. It's His creation. He could make them start talking. Good gracious, we read in the Old Testament where Balaam was riding on his donkey and his donkey got tired of him beating him, and the donkey turned around and started talking to him. Kind of a regular Mr. Ed, if you remember that old show. Well, if God can make a donkey talk, He can make trees and rocks talk too. But you know what? He doesn't choose to spread His word that way. He chooses to use us, who He created with a mouth, with a mind, and with a ability to have relationship. And I think that's a great thing, that God's letting me be His ambassador. He's letting me to be part of His reconciliation to other people in this world. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. John Aldrich wrote, "A model from the world of real estate becomes instructive at this point. A firm in Salem, Oregon, assigns 500 families to each agent. Agents are expected to contact each assigned family once per month for a year. The contact may be personal, a telephone call, or a letter. Research indicates that it takes at least 6 contacts for people to remember who the agent is and the firm represented. During this time of building relationships, agents are encouraged to not go in the house. Good psychology. Everyone else is trying to get their foot in the house door. So this is just during that first preliminary part. Furthermore, they're encouraged not to ask for a listing during this get acquainted time. Obviously, there would be exceptions to these restrictions, like if someone's wanting to sell their house right now. But they do illustrate an understanding of what it takes to create a favorable climate for selling real estate. After the initial year of regular contacts, the agent continues to communicate with the assigned families on a scheduled, systematic basis. Research reveals that if this pattern is followed consistently for 1.5 years, the agent will secure 80% of the listings of those 500 folks that would sell their home. That's a pretty high percentage. But we have more at stake than a house listing, folks. We have more at stake than that. Our motivation is based on eternal dividends. Therefore, we need to be willing to invest our time, our efforts, in the lives of others. And then, we need to realize that it's going to take multiple touches, multiple friendly encounters, like the one Tommy described, to make a friend. And once we make that friend, it's going to take a lot of time, one-on-one time, to see that friend make moves toward knowing and loving Jesus. But the results are amazing. They're worth every single effort. The Apostle Peter said this in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 15 to 16. "But honor the Messiah as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. However, do this with gentleness and respect. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are accused, those who denounce your Christian life will be put to shame." The task of witnessing the gospel can seem daunting. I can't tell you how many people I have shared about witnessing the gospel, and they said, "Oh, I can't do that. Because in our minds, we think of, if I'm going to witness the gospel, I've got to go knock on strangers' doors or stand on the street corner and start proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, those evangelistic strategies might work with some and for some, not everyone is called to do that kind of evangelism. But we are all called to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ, for the cause of Almighty God. We all are. And do you know, it doesn't have to be daunting. It can be as simple as being determined to find one new friend. Seriously, just finding one new friend. To become what you might need to become within the principles of God, to have a new friend. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23. Paul said this, "Although I am a free man and not anyone's slave, I have made myself a slave to everyone in order to win more people. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win Jews. To those under the law, like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, to win those under the law. To those who are without the law, like one without the law, not being without God's law, but within Christ's law." In other words, not giving up the principles of God, but I will become like those without the law, to win those without the law. To the weak I became weak in order to win the weak. I have become all things to all people so that I may be by every possible means save some. Now I do all this because of the gospel so I may become a partner in its benefits. The Apostle Paul never lost sight of his first love, Jesus Christ, and the gospel that saved him. The Apostle Paul understood the importance of producing friendliness to relationship and building that relationship over time to win some to Jesus. Not every single person he built relationships with came to Christ. He actually built, if you read through Acts, and I'll put a little plug, Wednesday mornings, 10 a.m., if you're free, you're going to want to be here. We are starting the book of Acts in our Bible study over here in what we call the cottage. It's our modular over here. And I hope that you'll be here. And you're going to find out what I'm talking about here, where Paul, even to King Herod when he was imprisoned, he built in several conversations, and we'll read about this, he built a relationship with King Herod. And he shared the gospel with that relationship. That's what he did. And Herod didn't receive it. But there were many, many others that he built relationships with that did receive the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they will be with Paul and with any other believer in heaven for eternity. I've had two different mentors in my life named Tim. And each one of them was a beautiful example of what Paul talked about here. The first Tim I'll talk about, he had a lady in his church whose husband was a surgeon, a flight surgeon in the Air Force. Very smart man. His name was Wayne. Now, Wayne didn't have a problem with his wife doing church and believing in God and Jesus. He was an agnostic himself, not atheist. He believed there was some kind of higher power. And he felt his wife needed the crutch of the church. That's what he called it. And he let some folks even come into his home and so forth. They had some small groups that met there. And some of the gentlemen in the church met him, and they realized, hey, he likes to shoot skeet. So they set up every Sunday afternoon to shoot skeet, and the pastor found out about this as well. Pastor didn't even own a shotgun, but he said, you know what, I'm going to go, I bet you I'll enjoy shooting skeet too. So he bought a shotgun, and every Sunday afternoon for almost 2 years, the pastor shot skeet with Wayne. It wasn't just the pastor, by the way, it was about three or four other gentlemen from the church. And after 2 years, these gentlemen and the pastor had opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with Wayne, and he got down on his knees and he accepted Jesus as his Savior. He became so radically saved, he was himself put himself on a crash course of discipleship. It was maybe a year or so after that, not 2 years, just a year or maybe a year and a half after that, he was PCS, that's the military moves, it's called PCS, and he was PCS'd out of there to Texas. And God put him in a church that where a pastor was trying to start small groups, and Wayne had become an expert in that short amount of time. And Wayne, God used Wayne and his wife to help that pastor start and build small groups in his church. What a beautiful story. The other Tim was, God had placed him in a church in Nebraska. kind of a ranching community with a small little town. Tim's church was in the town, and there was a kind of an ornery old guy in the town that lived by himself, and nobody thought this guy would get anywhere with God. So Tim didn't worry about that. He just met the guy and found out the guy loved to play cards. So once a week, every week, for an hour a week, Tim played cards with this man, and for about 2 years. He didn't get in there and preach the gospel at him and read the Bible and all that. He just played some cards. After 2 years, Tim dealt out the cards, and the man put the cards down, looked Tim straight in the face, and he said, "Tell me about God." Tim told him about God. That man right then and there over some cards accepted Jesus as a Savior. How'd that happen? Because those two men decided to have a new friend. They decided to have a new friend. They had to do some things that might have been uncomfortable. It wasn't real comfortable for the first Tim to spend $150, $200 on a shotgun. And then however much it cost to skeet shoot. But he was going to become all things to all people, so some may be saved. Folks, that's what the work of the gospel is all about. This should be a story played over and over and over in our lives. But unfortunately, sometimes we choose to be lazy. We abandon our first love. We put other things above Christ. We'll tell everybody we love God first, family second, blah, 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 blah. Really? And folks, I'm not saying that to you. I'm saying it to myself. Really, Kurt? Is that how you have it? I say it's time for each of us to start a new commitment. Maybe today. Start a new commitment to get busy and rekindle our first love of Jesus with friendliness in our community to gain relationship with one new friend. The bottom line is we must reach the community which God has placed us. If not us, then who? As the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verses 13 and 15, "For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how can they call on him if they have not believed? And how can they believe without hearing about him? And how can they hear without someone telling them? And how can someone tell them unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who announce the gospel of good tidings." So our challenge last week was just to be more friendly. This week, be friendly, prayerfully friendly, with the purpose, "God, let me have a divine appointment for a new friend. Let me see it. Maybe it's an interest I already have. Or maybe they're doing something and some kind of interest in something I've always wanted to do or wanted to have time for. And Lord, this is just a great excuse for me to be able to do something I've always wanted to do because I'm going to have a new friend." And let's have that as our goal this week. It doesn't mean that you'll find your new friend this week. It just means be that open and friendly. And folks, if you're not a talky person, that's fine. Just give a smile. You never know what that might start. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Holy God, I thank you so much for the fact that you sent your Son. God, you sent your Son, who is God, to come and die for us so that we could be reconciled to you, so we could be made right before you. And then, upon our calling to you to be commander of our life, Lord of our life, Savior of our eternity, you let us be children of God. And as children of God, you allow us then to be ambassadors to this world, to be the relational part of who you are to this world, to love and to be friends with and to share in life the gospel with our words and our actions, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, may each of us then renew our commitment to that which is our first love, you, Lord Jesus, and your gospel. It's in your name we pray these things. Amen.